SBR, the People's Pod, giving you unfiltered and unqualified content whenever we can. I'm Cliffy's Joe. Welcome back, everybody.
What's up, everyone?
It's been a long time. I don't even remember how to do this. But we got to give the people an update, okay? First of all, Joe tore his ACL.
Yes.
Okay? He tore his ACL.
Tore my ACL.
And the people were like, guys, where's the next podcast? Where is it? I mean, you started 50 to 41. You got to finish the list. I'm like, we're going to finish the list, okay? But Joe tore his ACL. Sorry, guys. And they said, oh, no. But he can talk, right?
Thanks, guys. Thanks for all the love. Appreciate all the comments and the prayers. The zero.
Zero, no, get yeah. well soon.
For my ACL. A lot of things have popped up.
Yeah. A lot of things have popped up.
I had a funeral yesterday.
Popped out. Yeah. My dog ate rat poison.
My son had an allergic reaction.
Yeah, you had a lot of things.
Reese ate some rat poison.
Had to throw her up. It's both our kids' birthdays. It's like there's like so much stuff happening.
Yeah, there were a lot of things going on. Apologies. You guys know. If you don't know, we don't make any money from this. So this is not our job. You know, we both have actual jobs. Before you start saying, oh, you guys gotta hustle. Look, guys, we have real jobs. This is just like a side thing that we do, and we actually lose money on. Okay, this is a thing we do for you guys that we are losing money on. So we just do it out of pure passion and love. That's why we do it. So
our social person quit. It's like, I know you guys are paying me money, guys, but you know, I'm going to move on to different things. I was like, oh, all right, man. Well, shout out to you, Josh. Thanks for helping us all the way through. Seriously,
man,
good
Josh.
Good luck. But, you know, if you ever want to come back, there's a warm seat open for you, my friend. It's a warm seat. Anyway, all right, so we're going to get to it. You know, we're going to talk about 40 to 31. If you guys didn't listen to 50 to 41, I don't blame you. Who cares about those guys? But Zion's in it, okay? So maybe you want to go listen to it. You want to listen to us rant about Zion again. But, you know, it's all about, you know, value relative to other players. Of course, availability matters. If the players didn't exist, who would be the next best player in the NBA? And we're talking about this because, you know, Joe always talks about, like, when I see a list, why aren't they higher? Why are this high? We got to explain that stuff. Are we going to go all in on this rating or fold? We're going to do all that, but the first thing we got to talk about, Dame got traded. Damian Lillard got traded from the Blazers, not to Miami. And that's why Jimmy looked emo in his picture. That's the real truth. They didn't
that's
gain.
Why he cha- that's why he changed his hair. Guys, you know, when a relationship doesn't work out, that's when you go for the new hairstyle. You know,
that is.
It's like you were expecting something to happen.
It's true.
DTR goes not the way you expected, right? It goes the other way. And
yeah,
then
that long
you
hair
gotta change your hair.
Goes
you
short,
gotta
right?
change your hair.
That's the exact look, right? Not only that, Drew Holiday goes to the Blazers. Then Drew goes to the Celtics.
Yep.
Joe, DeAndre Ayton also goes from Phoenix to the Blazers as part of the trade package, and Phoenix gets depth.
Yep.
So, Joe, the Celtics, the Bucks, the Blazers, who aren't done, and Phoenix all made trades that made sense, and that makes my soul happy. Oh, thank you, GMs, for doing a good job. You actually hear what's going on, and you look at the roster, and you make good changes. I am pleased. But, Joe, let's talk about the Bucks. Are they the favorites now?
Yeah, they are the favorites. They have to be the favorites. And it's weird because at first I didn't think they're the favorites. Mm. I was like, oh, they got Dame. Obviously, we love Dame. I love Dame. He's probably my favorite player in the NBA right now. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, when the trade initially happened, I didn't really think it was so automatic that they should be the favorites. You know, because I was still thinking about other teams. I was still thinking about the Nuggets. I'm still thinking about Phoenix, who, by the way, I think won the trade. I think this makes the Bucks the favorites, and yet I think Phoenix somehow won the trade just by getting rid of DeAndre Ayton. I think they've improved the most somehow by getting rid of a player. I think that's going to unlock everybody else. Yeah, it's addition. It's like a massive addition by subtraction. But and then I thought about it more, and actually I came across this video. I was just telling you this. But Jimmy Highroller, shout out to Jimmy Highroller on YouTube. He pointed out this one thing that I thought was really crazy. Players who have made at least 7 All-NBA teams, 46 players. This is all time. Not that many, right? Of those, only 13 did not win a championship.
And
of those, only 4 didn't get to the finals. It's George Gervin, Dominique Wilkins, Steve Nash, and Dame. And the guys on this list, I mean, you know, the guys who didn't win a finals, at least 7 All-NBA teams never you know, won a championship. It's like Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, Chris Paul, AI, Harden, Russell Westbrook, Patrick Ewing, T-Mac.
All-time scorers. All-time scorers.
All-time great players, honestly. And some of them, I think, are underrated because they didn't perform as well in the playoffs. But imagine, we were just talking about, imagine you get, like, T-Mac and you pair him with Prime Shaq. You know what I mean? Imagine you get Prime Steve Nash and you pair him with Prime Tim Duncan, you know, prime KG. Like, imagine you had those pairings. If that happened, I'm not saying it's 100% that they would win a championship, but it's 100% probably that they should be favored to win a championship at that point. You know, and you do have, in my opinion, maybe not quite reaching the height, but you have what is the modern equivalent of Kobe and Shaq at this point. It's a little bit older, Kobe, right? It's not quite the prime, physical prime, because Dame's a little bit older. But, man, Dame is so crazy good. This guy averaged 32 points per game last season. 32, 7, and 5.
Oh, man.
46 from the field, 37 from 3. I mean, he was dropping 71 bombs on people. I mean, have we seen anybody since Kobe being this kind of guy, clutch guy, perfect fit? They got to be the favorites. They got to be the favorites.
Here's the thing about, you know, a lot of those guys. Because I think T-Mac, he had his chance, but of course injuries, right? But he did get paired with an all-world player such as Yao Ming, right? You know, Steve
never
Nash,
healthy, though. Just so people
never healthy.
Never healthy. In the one run where they really should have done it, T-Mac got hurt, and then they made a run without him, but, you know, I mean,
they had the right coach, they had Shane Battier, they had all the right pieces to make something happen, and, you know, to them, to him, right, like, there's that pain, you know, but, like, a lot of these all-world players, like, they were kind of playing on their own, right, like, as much as I love to trash on Harden, like, those Houston Rocket teams are kind of whatever, right? Until he got Chris Paul, until he got Russell Westbrook. Like, before, what was he playing with, you know? And even Barkley, when he got to the finals, who's the second best player?
Yeah.
You know?
It's tough. I mean, they had great role players. They had, like, super role players, basically, but not stars.
That's exactly what Dame has had, and that's exactly what Giannis has had, right? Who is the best player Dame has ever played with? LaMarcus
Aldridge.
He's
played with one all-star. We've pointed out he's played with one all-star ever in his entire career. LaMarcus Aldridge.
Year one? Who's the best player Giannis has ever played with? Jrue Holiday?
He played with Michael Jordan, right?
Oh. Prime Jordan, Chris Middleton?
He played with Prime Jordan sometimes. And other times he is he's like really bad Chris Middleton.
He's Vlad
Radmanovich. Sometimes he's Prime Jordan, though. He goes through the cycle. You know, he goes through the wheel. Yes.
Both Giannis and both Dame have never played with this caliber of a player. Never. Both those guys are 30 points per game scorers.
Yes.
That's Giannis is arguably happened. The best player. Best player in the league.
That's also never happened. Where two players who have averaged 30 points per game in the previous season play together. Like got paired up to play together. That's never, ever happened.
I mean, the closest is Steph and KD.
You're right. But that's Steph didn't average 30 the previous season. So
exactly.
It's just... It is crazy when you think about that. And Cliff, the other thing is, it's the reason it's not T-Mac and Yao is because Giannis is prime Shaq.
Yeah.
Unstoppable, right? With a really big flaw.
Shooting.
In the clutch, he has some issues because he's not great at clutch. You know, he's not great at free throws. And then, you know, they can build the wall, right? He's not a shooter. But the crazy thing is, even despite everything you said about his previous teammates, he already has a championship.
He does.
He's already Hakeemed it, right? Like, Hakeem is probably the only other guy who just had the super role players, never had another star. I mean, not a real star. I mean, Clyde Drexler, he was good.
Aging star.
He was good, but slightly not quite, right? Like, at the point of his prime. And, dude just did it, and Giannis has already done that, and then you give him a superstar to play with.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty crazy.
It's insane. It's insane. I mean, coming off a 30-12 season, which was preceded by a 30-12 season. Which was preceded by a 28-11 season, which was preceded by a 30-14 season. Dude, Giannis, people forget because he was ousted in the playoffs.
Yes.
This dude is the best, or arguably the best player in the league.
He's arguably, He's right there. He and Jokic are right there. They're battling for number one. You know, I think there are a lot of people probably who would still say Giannis is the best player in the NBA. Despite what happened last season, despite his flaws, he has that much of a value add to a team. And he does so much offensively and defensively.
Yeah.
That you got to put him up there. And so you add for me, it's both the fact that they're not just that they're massive superstars, because you have kind of a Harden, Westbrook. They were both came together. They were both superstars still at the time. But they're just so much overlap, right? That's why nobody ever thought it would work. They're basically the same player, you know, with slight differences here and there. But this is more of a match. This is more of a Jokic and Murray situation where it makes a lot of sense. They're very complementary to each other. Almost perfectly complementary to each other. Because Dame's not like the greatest defender, right? But you got a good defensive team already around him with and Giannis and even Brolo. Like, they clean up a lot of the mistakes. Dame's not a bad defender, but, you know, he's not like Jrue Holiday. And then Dame is super clutch. Great scorer, shooter, playmaker. He's going to do all the things that Jrue Holiday was not good at and that they really needed from him.
Look,
in the playoffs.
As great of a defensive player as Jrue Holiday is, the Bucks don't need defense.
No.
They don't need more of it. What they need is offense.
Yeah.
That's what they need. They couldn't get a bucket down the stretch against Miami.
Oh, gosh. I mean, people were running from the ball. Giannis was running from the ball. I mean, trying to give it away as fast as he possibly could, hot potato. And Jrue Holiday, I mean, credit to Jrue Holiday for having a willingness to take shots, but we've seen too many 4-for-19s from Jrue Holiday in the playoffs. Where they're leaving him open, and he's like, all right, fine, I'm going to take it if you're going to leave me open. And yes, he'll pop off one game. He'll have 30 points, you know, one game in a series. And then three games in a series, he'll shoot like, you know, he'll shoot under 40%. And that's just not going to get it done.
The only problem for Dame is he has hit the tail of the prime.
Yes. That's the issue. Health. That's the only thing I'm worried about. If he gets hurt, you know, if he has an injury flare up or something. But other than that, yes, he's at the tail end of his prime. But, I mean, dude, like I said, 32-7-5 last season. That's the challenge.
That's the challenge.
And that's his best season.
Real quick, Phoenix, they got Nurkic and Grayson Allen, Nazir Little, Keon Johnson. Nice little round out, right? They got Nurkic to replace at the center spot. Nurkic is no slouch. And they got Grayson Allen, who is the prototypical enforcer, bad person that you send everything at. You know, you got the Bruce Bowen guy. So it's like a perfect little round out to their roster.
Yes. Grayson Allen is horribly unclutch, but he'll never have to ever shoot the ball on this team.
That's not their problem.
Never.
That's not their
problem.
He'll
never have to shoot. All he's got to do is elbow a couple guys and stomp on somebody when they're on the ground. You know, stuff you got to do.
Yep.
It's like all that kind of stuff. Yep. And he'll do it. He'll do it.
Joe, Drew Holiday on the Celtics. Happy about it?
As a Lakers fan, I'm ecstatic.
Oh.
Because he doesn't help them a lot. He doesn't help them. We were just talking about it. At first, it seems like, oh no, they got Drew Holiday. But he kind of plays into their problems. So they got rid of Marcus Smart.
Yeah. Strong defender.
Yeah.
You know, sort of a point guard, combo guard person who is their clutchest player but does not shoot well.
They get KP, who you're thinking, okay, I guess KP is stepping into the Al Horford role, right?
Okay. Uh-huh.
Which is fine because you got Robert Williams. Yeah. Right, who is more of the shot blocker defender. Yeah. Uh-huh. And now you have an offensive point guard, Malcolm Brogdon. He's just going to step in, I guess. You know, I would rather have gone out and got somebody. But if you're like, okay, Brogdon, he's definitely a good offensive guy, not a bad defensive guy, decent. Mm-hmm. And great offensively, I think.
He was a 25-6 player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let him run the offense. You know, let him do what he was doing more previously, right?
Yep.
However, now you get rid of him. And you get rid of Robert Williams, and you get Drew Holiday. So now basically you're going to a Marcus Smart-type player again who struggles offensively. Great defender, but struggles offensively. And I think actually it's kind of a downgrade from Marcus Smart.
Ooh.
Because it's an upgrade defensively, but it's a downgrade in leadership.
Because
I don't think Drew Holiday is the leader that Marcus Smart is. So Marcus Smart brought you more intangibles. Drew Holiday is bringing you more production, technically, defensively, and he's probably better offensively also than Marcus Smart. But we've seen his struggles in the playoffs. What are you doing now then? And you lost Robert Williams?
Robert Williams.
KP is not a shot blocker.
The Time Lord.
I mean, he's a decent help side defender, but he's not fast. He doesn't erase mistakes. You know what I mean? Like Robert Williams does. Robert Williams puts fear in the hearts of people. KP is like, gets some blocks, but everybody wants to dunk on him. You know, everybody wants to like posterize him. And so they're going to challenge him nonstop. Whereas Robert Williams is affecting so many shots, even if he's not getting the shot block. And so, and then KP's also an injury risk. So now I'm just like, what are they doing on this team? It's like now they have somehow they have a lot of talent and a lot of ability, but they have more holes than they started with, in my opinion. They've got more liabilities than they started with, right? As we discussed, Jason Tatum, he's a clutch guy if he doesn't have to play make. If you force him to put the ball on the floor and then make a decision, he's not good at that. He turns it over a ton of times. We've seen it repeatedly. And he'll miss chippies if you do that. If you start double, triple teaming him, he starts missing layups. Like, he does that. But he's going to make that sidestep three, you know, 9 times out of 10. You give him that sidestep three in the clutch, he'll make that 9 times out of 10. If that's all he has to do, he's good. But now it's like, all right, we'll just guard him, force him to put the ball on the floor, leave Drew Holiday open, make him shoot all the clutch threes. Unless Jaylen Brown.
Well.
Yeah, and unless Jaylen Brown got one of those apps where you dribble the ball a lot, or in the offseason, unless Phil Handy is like on his phone.
With his left hand?
Unless he got one. I see a lot of those things. I thought about getting one for Micah. You know, it's like, I've seen him. Unless he got one of those, I mean, I'm worried. Who's gonna playmake in the clutch? You got the exact same problem you had last year. Leave Drew Holiday open. Force Jason Tatum to put the ball on the floor. I mean, when you're on offense and they're on defense, I feel like there's less fear because KP's now manning the middle instead of Robert Williams.
And you need Horford to hit the threes in the corner.
Yeah, you need Horford to hit that three and do the little T sign and pump Jimmy Butler up, you know?
They have the best five in 2K, though.
Oh, on paper, it's amazing. Like, in a vacuum, it's great. Talent-wise, sky's the limit. But chemistry-wise, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm just confused now.
Again, they should have got Chris Paul. I will say it. They should have just got Chris Paul.
Yeah.
All right, Joe.
That might have been the one good team that Chris Paul could actually help.
Let's get into it, okay? We've spent enough time
kind
of teasing out the rest of this. Let's get right into it. Number 40. Number 41 was Kawhi. Actually, not a lot of hate on that, which was really interesting.
Nice.
Number 40, Zach LaVine.
Zach LaVine. 25-5-4, 49% shooting. He's been 25-5-5 for 5 years now.
Yeah, but he's also been to the playoffs only one time in his career. Joe, here's my question and the reason why he ranks at 40. Why isn't he good? Like, why do all his teams suck when he's putting up numbers? These are Kobe's career numbers, 25-5-5. Joe, what is wrong with him?
I have watched a lot of Bulls games. I've had Zach LaVine on my fantasy team. I think 2 years in a row. He is not a great decision maker, I'll say. Mm. Yeah, he's not a good game manager.
Mm.
Yeah, like, so yeah, he can put up numbers, but it's weird. It's somehow, I would say 70% of the numbers that he puts up feel like they don't matter.
Mm.
You know, they come in the unimportant moments. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he'll get out on a break. You know, he'll get a dunk. Like, it's like the middle parts of the game. It's like the middle of the second quarter. Yeah. And like the middle of the third quarter where he's getting, like, he's going on these scoring binges. Yeah. But the end of the half or to end quarters or to close the game, it's like all DeRozan on this team.
Mm.
You know, and as, you know, when you, one of your fantasy players is like, they start with a crazy game. You know, the LaMarcus Aldridge.
The LaMarcus
effect,
Aldridge,
like,
17 and 7.
Ends yeah, they've got 17 and 7 at halftime. And you're like, oh, he's going to have a monster game. And then he ends with 23 and 8. You know, and you're like, why? And for me, that's how I would feel watching them. Mm. Right. But, you know, inevitably when you have a guy and you want him to, you want their team to win. That just ends up happening. Right. If it's two teams I don't care about and my fantasy guy's on one of those teams, I want him to win the game. And I would discover that Zach LaVine, when he would get those chances, like, the reason they don't give him the ball in those situations is because he's bad.
Mm.
He makes bad decisions. Shoots too many long threes. You know, in decisive moments. And then the game's close, right? It's a 2-3-point game. And you're thinking, Zach LaVine, you can just blow by your man almost every time. Get to the rim, dunk it, or get a layup, right? And when it's a 2 or 3 or 5 point game, he doesn't do that.
Mm.
And then when it's a 10-point game, he starts doing it. You know what I'm saying? It's like the game gets a little bit out of, like, he's shooting these step back threes and then the game gets out of reach. And then all of a sudden it's desperation time and he's going straight to the rim and he gets like 3 layups in a row. And then he ends with 25-5-5, but they didn't matter. Right, and DeRozan, on the other hand, it's a 2-point game, and this guy's backing him down into a 12-foot turnaround fadeaway, and he's making them.
Yeah.
Right, and it's like stilting the offense, but he's producing. And Zach LaVine, he just needs to mature, kind of.
Mm.
You know, he needs to learn a little bit from Luka. He needs to learn a little bit from like a KD. From, like, these guys who know what to do in these situations. You know, they just know how to close a game, right? From a Jokic, from a Steph, right? Like, from a Dame. It's like, when it gets to a certain moment in a game, that's what I never feel when I watch Zach LaVine. When I'm watching one of those other guys, they don't always win, right? But you know what they're going to get to, and you know what they're going to run, and you know that they're going to produce. And Zach LaVine just, he ends up having a lot of empty possessions. He ends up having a lot of, like, real world basketball. His talent and his numbers are great, but the eye test, he just does not pass the eye test. And that's it for me. That's why I feel like if he can get over that hump, if he can mature, become a better game manager, score more important points, I think he would really move up this list. He has potential to be in the top 20 for sure.
Wow. If he can figure that out.
I think if he can figure that out.
The problem is he's been in the league 9 years. And as you always say, when people tell you who they are, believe them the first time.
Yep.
And so, Joe, my question is, anybody listening to this that's a fan of any team, should they want to trade for Zach LaVine?
Mostly not, I would say.
Because we know the Bulls are sellers. They want to sell their team.
Only if you have an excellent coach. Yeah, if you're if you have a good player development coach, like a coach who has a track record of turning a star into a superstar.
Spo.
I think that's the type of coach he needs.
That's he's a one of one kind of guy.
Yeah. And that's it though. Like who can, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If there was a Larry Brown type out there, you know, if that person existed, if there were a Rick Carlisle type out there, I think maybe like Steve Kerr could do something with him if he got his hands on him. Obviously, that's not a trade that can happen. But you know what I'm saying? Because I don't think like a Popovich is going to do anything with Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think a Spoelstra is going to do something with Zach LaVine.
Oh, interesting.
I think you need the because that's not who Zach LaVine is. He's not a blue-collar player. He should be a superstar. Like this guy should be a 37-5 guy. Just based off his talent and his ability. His skills are so good, but he doesn't see it. Like when he's playing the game, he doesn't see the game. You know, like what people would talk about with like Magic Johnson, a lot of star players, right?
Yeah.
You know, like Kobe, like
offensive awareness.
You just kind of see the game. Even like a James Harden. James Harden's just not clutch, right? But in terms of managing a game, he's very good. And then just when the moment is pressurized, he suddenly doesn't do the thing that he knows and everybody knows he should do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, take that layup. It's like, shoot that step back three. It's like right there, you know, it's right there for you. And suddenly you're not doing it. Zach LaVine just has a lot of questionable decisions. I was like, why are you shooting that right now? What is that? Why are you shooting this dribble, 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 step back, side three, and then airballing it? Like, that's such a weird decision right now. When you can get into the lane and get a layup.
He's a street baller. He's the guy that plays. It's the guy you play, like not even indoor basketball, outdoor basketball. It like kind of doesn't matter. And then you're just do whatever, right? It's like unorganized.
It's random.
There is no play. It's just random.
It does seem like he suffers from deciding what to do before the play starts. You know what I mean? Like it's almost like at half court, he's like, I'm going to shoot a turnaround step back.
No matter what.
Like, yeah, no matter what. Like he's not reading the defense. He's just like, this time, this is what I'm going to do. This time I'm going to drive in. You know, and it's like, you can't do that, right? You have to react to what the defense is giving you and have like three options, right? Like if you're Steph, okay, if he comes up, I'm going to blow by him. If he stays back, if he goes under the screen, I'm going to shoot this three. And it's like for him, he's just like, I'm going to shoot this three. Like no matter what.
So you're telling me he's Chevy Chase in Community where everybody is improvising and he's like, nope. I'm saying the line exactly how it is. I'm not staying late to do improvised lines again, and I'm going home.
Yes. Stick to the script. Stick to the script.
All right. All right, Joe. Number 40, Zach LaVine. Let's go number 39. At number 39 coming in, Darius Garland.
Darius Garland did not take a step back with Donovan Mitchell's arrival. Went from 22-3-9. And 46% shooting to 22-3-8 on 46% shooting. Very consistent.
But they got killed in the playoffs. They got smoked by New York.
Yeah.
By New York.
It was pretty disappointing.
But he contributed 21-2-5 on just under 44% shooting. So all his numbers kind of went down. But
to be expected. He's a young player. He's getting better. Yeah. I think right now we don't really know what Darius Garland is.
Oh,
It's too early to tell. Yeah. Mm. He's ascending quickly. I think he can be a great player.
Oh.
He can be like a – almost like a Chris Paul type player, I think.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like he could be. Like not – he can't average quite as many assists.
Yeah.
But I could see him being like a 22-9, 9.5. You know what I mean? Like right under 10. Like right, yeah, he's already almost there. Like, but just I don't think he's like a 22-12 guy though. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like not like to that level, but he's like right around 10, hovering just below 10. He's not like a Rondo. You know what I mean? Like he's never gonna. I don't think he's gonna lead the league in assists, but he's gonna be one of the better scoring point guards, but who also distributes. But I just don't know. We got to see him more in the playoffs. I think we got to see, is he that guy? Does he have the metal? Does he have the grit? You know,
that's what it is to me.
Yeah, I
that's
give him a
what
pass
it is to me
though.
Yeah, because he has a 50 point game under his belt for this past season. Right, he played well. Donovan came in. He didn't take a step back. His numbers were just as good. He was shooting threes. He was doing everything that he was supposed to be doing. I think to me, they just fell apart in the playoffs because they didn't really know what they were or where to be. Right, like. They have to make Darius, like, they're kind of doing the Darius and Donovan take turns thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whereas it's like, no, Donovan is the scorer, and I need him to be the scorer, and I need Darius to be the passer. Right?
Yeah.
But both of them are the same size and kind of do the same-ish thing. So they got to find an identity. And so I think in the way that you're saying it is like, oh, is he going to be the Chris Paul guy, the Rondo guy, or is he going to be more the Ja Morant kind of guy? It's a Steph Curry kind of guy. We don't know. And I think that's where it's just like perplexing, right? It's like, how do we understand you? Because you're kind of playing both sides of the coin and you can't do that right now because you have Donovan. Like it made more sense without him. But now that he's here, it's like, what are you guys going to do together to work together? Because they have the talent to be great.
I think the team is better if he does... if he's more like a 19-11 guy, you know, than a 22-8 guy or 23-8 guy. But I don't know if he's going to do that. I don't know if he can do that, honestly. Because he's not like a pure point guard, pass first only kind of guy. Do you know what I mean? And you kind of have to be that to get up above 10 assists, I think.
Yeah.
It's very difficult, I think, to average over 10 assists without being purely like a pass first guy. And I don't think he is that. But I just want to see what he does in the playoffs, not in terms of scheme, not in terms of what the team does, but just, is he going to just step up? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he going to just like, who cares? I don't care what the, because they got outcoached. Tibbs had a great defensive scheme against them and they just couldn't figure it out. But at some point, your stars have to step up and be like, it doesn't matter what defense you're running. I'm just going to break it down and dominate. And they kind of shrunk, honestly. Donovan as well. They just did not play well under that pressure, and that's why they lost. So I just want to see what he does in the playoffs.
I think I'm also with you to reiterate the 18-11 assist kind of person. Because they have Darius and they have Donovan, right? But the other guys they have, Jared Allen, Caris LeVert, Max Strus now, Evan Mobley, you know, Okoro. Like you got to get them the ball. Like, those guys need your help to develop plays. And so, that, like, you got to fit that role. Like, that's what the team needs. You got to do that for the team.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Number 38. One of our favorites to talk about. Julius Randle.
Former Laker. We'll always have a soft spot in our hearts for Julius Randle. Bounce back year. 25-10-4 on 46% shooting. He was an all-star.
Ooh.
He was, we know, he was a 2021 most improved player.
Yeah.
And I feel like we know what Julius Randle is. Credit, you know what, though? Credit to Julius Randle. He had a good season.
He did.
And they won a playoff series. 25-10-4.
And they won a playoff series.
And they won a playoff series. Way more than I expected them to do. So props to Julius. I don't want to hate on Julius too much.
This is true.
What he accomplished. You know, I want to be fair. We hate on him when people are overhyping him and saying he's amazing and he's the second coming. And, you know, they fall flat on their faces. And, you know, I think he's gotten a lot of hate. So I'm going to give him some credit.
Wow. Look at you maturing. real maturing.
I'm going to give him some credit.
I'm going to flip the coin a little bit because we also know he didn't make the second round because of him. All right? We know. We know it's not him. Dude averaged 16-8 on 37% shooting. We know it's not him, okay? You're not beating the Cavs with that, okay? We know it's not him.
Jalen Brunson was the man.
We know, okay? Joe, Julius Randle, again, the ultimate fool's gold, right? Just like when you go to the market and you see sushi in the counter, and you're like, oh, that looks good. The salmon's so orange. I really want to eat that. Take it out. You're like, oh, this wasabi is like really bad. And then you taste the fish. You're like, ah, dang. I should have just got a salad instead.
So what you're saying is Julius Randle in the regular season is like looking at the thing, and then Julius Randle in the postseason is
eating
when
the thing.
You put the sushi in your mouth, and you're like, "How does it taste so bad
when it looks so good?
Like, how does it look like that?" And then I put it up. Like, how is this rice so dry? How is this so dry? How does this fish taste so weird?
When you look at regular season Randle, you're like, he looks just like Kevin Love. He looks just like Toronto Chris Bosh. It's like uncanny. It looks just like it.
That's who
and
he is.
Then the playoffs come, you're like, oh my God. What happened? Why does this taste so bad?
It's Miami Chris Bosh. It's true. You got Toronto Chris Bosh in the regular season, 25-10, and then you transform Miami Chris Bosh, 16-8.
It's like once the air touches when you open the package, the air touches it, and all of a sudden it transforms.
It just, it's chemical.
Like the freshness is gone immediately. Like opening a bag of chips, like you feel it from the outside. Oh, it's really crispy. And then you open it, you're like, has this bag been open the whole time? Why does it taste so bad?
Yeah. I think they actually invest on some kind of holographic thing just so when you open it, you know, it's gone. That's Julius Randle. You're right. He's a mirage. He is great in the regular season, and you get there and it's just more desert. But you got Jalen Brunson, Knicks fans. You got Jalen Brunson, and he's the opposite. I mean, he looks good and he gets better, you know, when you open him up in the postseason. So you got that.
It's true. And we'll get to Jalen Brunson, and we're not getting to him next week. That's the spoiler. That's the spoiler. All right, Joe, number 37. Let's go, Desmond Bain.
Desmond Bain. For some reason, the Chicago announcers, especially, whenever they do Bane's voice, they do Bane from Batman. For some reason, whenever they play Memphis.
Desmond Bain.
I can't. You're too far. You're too far. You got to get closer.
Oh, Desmond Bain here.
That's what they say, like, oh, the key. You think the key is your ally. Like, they do quotes. They do
they, like,
legit
troll
quotes.
Him? They troll
no,
him?
No, they really do it. I was born in the key. You know, like, they do it every time. Anyway, watch it next time Memphis plays Chicago in Chicago. Watch the game, you know, on League Pass, because you got to get the home announcers.
Yeah.
They do it every time. Desmond Bane, 22-5-4, 48% shooting, going into his fourth year.
Yeah.
24-6-3 on 42% shooting against the Lakers in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I like Bane. I honestly like Bane. I feel like maybe he's too low at 37. I think it's fair. But he's the kind of guy. Look, he's 22-5-4, and Zach LaVine is 25-5-4. And Bane's higher. Because he plays much more significant. Like, his points all feel like they matter. Mm. He hits huge threes. And this is purely on eye test. You know, I should do more of a deep dive into this. I'm sure there's a stat out here for this. I'll look into it. But it's just when you watch the game, his points feel like they matter.
Yeah.
It's like, and Desmond Bane's the kind of guy, Zach LaVine's the kind of guy you're like, dude, what is he doing? Like, what does he have in this game? Like 12 points? And you check, he's got 30 points.
Yeah.
Right. And then Desmond Bane's the kind of guy you're like, does he have like 70 points? Like, what is happening? How is he open every, like, that's what happens when you watch the game. And he has like 18 points. You know? And you're like, what the, like, how? It feels like he has like 45 points, because it seems like every time he hits a shot, oh, that was it. Did you know that they were going to do this today? Did you get something on your phone?
Yeah, I just got it.
It was the national. They're doing a national emergency test. Everybody got that right now. Like, everybody with a phone.
So everybody, we just got disrupted. Desmond Bane. I'm sorry.
Desmond Bane. An alert.
The darkness is your ally. Like, that's you know, that's the thing about Bane. It's like he has that, everything he does feels significant. Like his passes, his rebounds, he's a gamer. He steps up.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like maybe he should be higher on the list.
So you're all in, are you all in on his rating? Or you think higher or lower?
I would definitely go higher. Here's the other thing about Bane, okay? You know, how many times has it been touted the Memphis without Ja stat?
Yes, like, that's like, what I was going to say.
So many times, right? Memphis without Ja, they're better without Ja, like all this kind of... Obviously, that's not true. However, a big reason for that is Bane.
Yeah.
Because even without Ja, they got Desmond Bane. He carries a lot of that load.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say probably his stats, like stat for stat, are more significant than Joss.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you had to weigh every point and you had to weigh every assist of Desmond Bane versus Joss, Joss is obviously going to overall be more because he gets more. But I think point for point, Desmond Bane's are more valuable.
I agree with that. And Joss is going to be out again, of course, because he didn't learn his lesson the second time. Bane has a chance to...
It was a toy gun, Cliff. Come on.
Bane has a chance to shine, like, for real, again this year. The fourth year, right? Fourth year is when they kind of become who they are, right? That's when they're ready. And, dude, his third year, he's 22-5-4. He went 24-6-3 against the Lakers, who went to the Western Conference Finals.
Yep.
He didn't have Ja. Like...
Yep.
All those things that you were saying when Memphis was playing the Lakers, that it's constantly like, how is he open again? Like, you constantly say stuff like that because he just finds a way to navigate through the schema, finds a way through their defense. He finds a way to win. I really like Desmond Bane. I think, like you're saying, dude is a gamer. He's a winner, right? And I think that's something that I really like about him. I like him at this rating, at 37, but I like him above the guys he's above. But yeah, I like 36 better. Number 36, Lauri Markkanen.
Lauri Markkanen, 26-9-2 on 50% shooting on Utah.
On Utah, who purged their two best players. He's the reigning most improved player of the year and basically was the reason that Utah couldn't tank, because he kept winning them games. Dude was balling. How many highlights did you see at the beginning of the season where, dude, he was getting a game-winning dunk, game-winning layup, game-winning three-pointer? Like, he was celebrating all the time because the dude was balling and wouldn't let Utah lose. I love him.
The thing is, if I had to go higher or lower on MarketNet, I think I'd go lower.
Whoa!
Yeah. He went from 15 points per game, Cliff. 15 and 6. To 26 and 9. Who does that in his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5th to 6th season? Who does that? Who has a jump like that? Right? It's pretty crazy. Now, look, props to Lauri Markkanen. I think he's awesome. I think... He had probably the craziest, surprisingly good season, yes, in a long time. I'm not just last season, but I can't remember the last time somebody went from, we know exactly what this guy is, to, what the heck, this guy's like a superstar. Like, this guy's amazing. Now, he's not a superstar, but, because I think he's going to come down a little bit, actually.
Yeah.
I think this season people are going to be more prepared. I think nobody had any expectations for Utah. What I think Utah should have done was just try to make the playoffs.
Mm.
I think they should have just played out the season and did everything that they could to be as good as they possibly could. Cause they had young players, you know, it was like this no expectations type thing, but I think players develop better when, I mean, I've always had this, right? Like I hate tanking.
You hate tanking.
Because I think it just gives you a losing mentality, like a loser's mentality. And I think for them, they should have just tried to win as many games as they could have possibly won. I think then I'd be a lot higher on Lowry coming into this season. But because they did that, I feel like maybe they're going to lose some momentum.
Mm.
A lot of the other teams are getting better. I mean, are they going to be able to take so many teams by surprise this season? I think coaches are going to game plan a little bit more for Lowry now, knowing what he's capable of. And, you know, I mean, I don't necessarily think he's going to drop, but I think I think it's unlikely that he's going to be higher next season than he is right now.
And it could be similar to what Justin Fields is right now, where last year he was like the running quarterback sensation. Now everyone scouts Chicago for the running quarterback and they have just really imploded.
Like, it's partly the coaching staff's fault. There are no more designed runs for him. But I watched a breakdown of Justin Fields' film. This guy cannot read defenses.
Mm.
He is so bad. His average time is like over 3 seconds. And he's just like sitting there. He can't go through his progressions. He locks onto one guy.
Oh, no.
And then either the guy gets open,
he has to run.
He throws it. He doesn't get open, and he gets sacked, or he doesn't get open, and then he throws it to him. But I don't think Lowri Markkanen is going to be like that. I think he's going to go down to like 12 points per game or something next season.
I mean,
I do agree. I think, you know, basketball is not like football, though, because you can't really scheme to stop a player in basketball. Right. You know, not really. But I just think it's more like the player's mentality. Do you know what I mean? I feel like that is much more relevant in basketball, where if a player is going to be underestimated, like that's, to me, that's part of Linsanity, what happened with Linsanity. Mm. You know, it's like, oh, here's this Asian nobody guy. Mm-hmm. And people came in with such a like entitled, like, I'm better than this guy. I'm going to prove that I'm better than this guy. You know? But instead of being like
a lack of respect.
Yeah. Instead of treating with respect, like, oh, okay, I'm going to lock him up.
Right.
Like what Miami did to him. Most players came in thinking like, I just know I'm better than him. Like what Darren Williams did to him. And then Jeremy Lin destroyed Darren Williams. Because he just came in thinking like, oh, I know I'm better. I'm just going to come in the same as I always do. And I'm going to be better. And then once you start getting beat, you're like, oh, shoot, this guy's better than I thought. Right. I think that's what Lowri Markkanen did to everybody in the NBA last season. The whole NBA.
Or they credit it to luck. He got lucky on me. So I still don't have to prepare.
Yes. But this season, after a whole season of doing that, people are giving Lowri Markkanen respect. And now they're going to actually treat those matchups more seriously. And I think, you know, that'll be it's not going to take a huge hit. I think it's more likely that he'll be slightly worse than that he'll be a lot better.
Because 26 points per game is blazing hot.
That is crazy.
That is up there. All right, let's go to number 35, DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan, 25, 5, and 5 on 50% shooting. Chicago has two guys who are 25, 5, and 5. And
They come for 50 points per game.
That's freaking crazy. He's averaged 20 plus for 10 years now. DeRozan, look, he's the model of consistency.
Yep.
I don't really have anything bad to say about DeRozan. Just he's getting old and we kind of know what he is now.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a top 20 player, you know, but just solid kind of all-star caliber player consistently, perennially.
Yeah, for us, we rank him properly.
Not 80.
Not 80, which is such disrespect.
For those of you who don't know, NBA ESPN ranked, like two seasons ago, had him 80th or something like that.
Like, what? How does that make any sense? The past three seasons, just to put some flowers on his name, he's top five in scoring in clutch moments. Last year, he was second, only behind De'Aaron Fox.
Was last season the one where he had back-to-back game winners?
I think that was two seasons ago.
Oh, 2 seasons ago. Okay, yeah. But that was, I mean, this guy, he's clutch.
He's so clutch, right?
Yeah, as I said, he knows what his game is. And in the clutch moments for Chicago, he's always doing the same thing. And he's just hitting it every single time. He just gets right to the free throw line jumper, turnaround fadeaway, every single time. Cannot be stopped. I'm telling you, this guy cannot be stopped. Now, playoffs is a different thing. He's not good in the playoffs, but regular season, night in, night out, consistent, just he's a great player.
You know what's very interesting about our list right now in the 30s is, so our next guy is JJJ. We have two guys from Memphis and two guys from Chicago. The guys from Memphis have way less numbers than the guys from Chicago, but they have a way greater impact than the guys from Chicago. Because the other guy that's not on here, who also has a lot of good numbers but no impact, Nikola Vucevic.
Yep, Vooch. They got three guys who are 20 points per game, who have like great numbers in Chicago. How can they not be one of the eight best teams in the East?
It's like crazy. How?
It's crazy. How? They should be way above like a Toronto. Honestly, even Miami. Go talent for talent. Chicago versus Miami. It's crazy.
It's insane. It's insane the players that they have. They just can't get over the hump. That's why it's like, unless you're watching a Bulls game like you are, I've seen some and it's just appalling watching them.
Yeah, it's so bad. Their offense is terrible. Like, it's
you don't get
defense
it.
Too. It is a big indictment on Zach LaVine, honestly. Because he should be the guy who is like 36-5 leading the team.
Yeah.
But he's not. And, you know, they would be, if he could do that, I mean, his win share, I don't know what his win shares are. They're probably really bad. His win shares would like go through the roof if he could just produce in those moments. Anyway, but good observation.
But we know DeRozan, right? Like, you can't ask for more from him. But it's these other two guys. I'm like, what are you guys doing, dude?
It's really LaVine. I mean, look, Vooch is what Vooch is. Vooch is not a superstar.
Yeah.
He doesn't have superstar talent.
Yeah, he's not on this list.
Yeah, he's just like a solid big to have.
He's another Nurkic.
Great third guy, but it's LaVine. He needs to ascend for them to be anything.
Yeah, so JJJ, reigning defensive player of their year, right? He's great. Doing random YouTube content. He's fun. He's funny. He's a funny guy.
19-7-1-1-3, 51% shooting.
Great. Three blocks
a
game.
Did not have a great FIBA, though.
No, he did not.
Was getting pretty clowned on pretty hard.
Yeah, he's not a center.
Yeah, I think, I mean, FIBA's different, too. It's weird because the things he does well, he does extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
He is a great shot blocker.
Mm-hmm.
He is a great help side defender.
Yes.
Right. He has great instincts and timing.
Yes.
And he defends well.
And he shoots well too.
For a help side defender who gets as many blocks as he does, he defends well without fouling.
Yeah.
He defends well without fouling. I mean, so he does need to work on that a little bit.
2.1 fouls a game. It's like not bad.
He just has weird games where like he'll get into foul trouble though.
Yeah.
But then his offense is weird.
Is weird, yes.
He shoots too many threes, in my opinion. I don't think he should really be shooting threes at all, in my opinion. You know? And I think he should get in the low block more. And I think he should work on his low post game more. And that would make him more of a serious kind of multifaceted, multidimensional player that can stay on the court more.
Yeah.
But he just has weird, you know, like there's just like a lot of holes in his game, particularly offensively, that, you know, keep him from being in the top tier.
Mm. I think all the things you've said are correct. The one thing that I think is interesting about his game is I just don't think he's a great one-on-one defender.
Mm. Yeah.
AD torched him, destroyed him one-on-one, right? I think he's actually better guarding perimeter guys versus big guys, which is a big flaw because he's a big guy. But that whole 3 blocks a game, that turned into 0.3 blocks a game during that Lakers series.
Yeah. Because he's not a good on-ball defender.
Yeah.
He's a good help-side defender, you know, and so that's how you get blocks. You know, to be a shot blocker, generally, that's what you're doing. You know, you're coming in the help. And I don't think he can move up.
I don't think so.
I don't think it's possible because he's kind of just a very particular guy. He's obviously not like a Rudy Gobert, though. You know, like he produces offense, like he can do things.
Rudy Gobert's like the 200th best player in the NBA. let's be real.
So he's not like a liability. You know what I mean? He's not like a detriment to his team in any way. It's just that he's not quite
well-rounded. His ceiling seems capped.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
That's where it's concerning. If ever he was going to move up, if ever he was going to happen, it's now. Right now, when Ja is out, right? What is he going to turn into after this ouster in the playoffs? What is he going to turn into? We'll see what he worked on during the summer. We'll see. But to me, he seems capped at basically like the 30th best. Like at 30. 30 might be his cap.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go last three. Number 33, we got DeJounte Murray. DeJounte Murray.
DeJounte Murray. 21, 5, 6, 46% shooting. 23, 7, 7, 45% shooting in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He is on the NWA of the NBA. Yeah. I mean, the NWO, excuse me. He is the villain of the NBA.
He is.
The villain?
Is Trey, I don't know about the villain.
Is he the villain?
He's one of the villains. But he's one of the villains. He could be a bigger villain. If they were better, that's the problem. Like, he's so mismatched in Atlanta.
Yes.
Like, Trey's effectiveness went way down with him on there. Like, theoretically, right, this is like the improved version, or should be the better version, of Donovan and Darius Garland. Right? Because DeJounte was also, like, getting 9-10 assists a game. Right, so he was doing it in San Antonio, but they just don't work. Like, I don't even know. Like, to me, I see a lot more upside with Darius and Donovan together. Like, oh, okay, I think they can figure it out. Maybe not, but I think they can. DeJounte and Trey will not figure it out. There's no way.
100%. Look, Cliff. I said at the beginning of last season I didn't like Atlanta.
You were right.
You were a lot higher on Atlanta than
I was. A lot higher.
Because they're too similar. To me, they're way too similar. Yeah, Trey and the thing is, they both have flaws too. Like, Trey's undersized, obviously. DeJounte's not crazily. I mean, he's not undersized per se, but like, he's not strong. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's not like a big guy. And to me, that's, I don't know. I think you need at least one big guard or more of a defensive guard. And DeJounte's got good defense, but. And then they just handle too much. This is the epitome of your turn, my turn. It's like, you don't want too low. You don't want two like Kobe's, you know? But you know what's even worse than two Kobe's is like two Chris Paul's. That's nobody wants that, right? that's like the worst possible thing, right, that you could ever have. And that's what they have. You need two guys who are going to dominate the ball, like who are used to dominating the ball. Here's the other thing.
It's Westbrook and Harden.
Trae Young is better than DeJounte Murray at basically everything.
Yeah.
That's the problem, right? And I had a feeling that DeJounte Murray's numbers would take a dip because what is DeJounte going to do there? Trae Young's better at pick and roll. Trae Young's a better shooter. Like offensively, because Trae Young has pick and roll mastered. There's nobody better at pick and roll than Trae Young, in my opinion. You give him a Clint Capella type, right? He's going to throw the lob, he's going to shoot the floater, or he's going to shoot a wide open shot. There's nothing you can do about it. To me, I think, you know, especially in the regular season, in the playoffs where you're allowed to foul a little bit more and it doesn't get called, I think you can rough him up. But in the regular season, there's just nothing you can do about that. You go under the screen, he's going to shoot the three. You go over the screen, he's going to get into the lane. He's going to either shoot the floater or he's going to throw the lob. And there's just not much you can do unless you really cheat. And then there's a wide open corner three, right? And so DeJounte is just not as good at that. And I think that's why he's not the right guy. Like, he's not the right fit because he basically does almost exactly the same thing. Like, his game is almost exactly the same, except he's not as good of a three-point shooter. He's not as good at the floater. He's not as good of a passer as Trae Young. He's excellent at all three of those things, but he's not as good. And
he is, though, a triple-double machine. I mean, he's 32nd career, like, all-time in triple-doubles, tied with CP3. Like, he is a baller.
That's exactly not the guy you want, though, playing with Trae Young, right? That would be awesome. Pair him with Donovan, and I feel like that would be much better. You know, Darius and Trae Young doesn't work, but he would be better with Donovan than Darius would, I think. He would be better with, you know, like, he needs just a scorer, right? Like, I think he would have been great with Brad Beal or something like that. Like, that would have been a much better pairing, a much better matching. It just doesn't work with Trae. I think this team is probably capped. I don't see them improving much.
Yeah.
You know, especially with all the bad juju, you know, sort of like the bad vibes that were surrounding the whole Trae Young's going to get traded thing like last season. So I would say DeJounte more likely moving down than moving up.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Even before recording this, I was like, I don't feel good about DeJounte at 33. I don't feel good. All right, let's go. Number 32, Drew Holiday.
Drew Holiday, 5-time defensive team.
Yep.
19-5-7 on 48% shooting last season in the regular season. Good. Those are actually excellent offensive numbers for Drew Holiday. He's not typically had... At least in Milwaukee, he hasn't had a great shooting season. He's been in the playoffs 7 times. He's shot over 42% only one time.
One time in the playoffs.
And one two seasons, time. He's been under 38%.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's, you know, Cliff,
not good.
Yeah, you know. We've talked many times about Drew Holiday's shooting woes, particularly in the playoffs. I'm going to say right now, he's moving down. He is not going to be as good on Boston when he's going to be worse offensively, probably.
Yeah.
And his defense is not going to be as touted in Boston. He's also getting a little bit older. And so we got to factor that in as well. I don't know. If I'm a Boston fan, I'm kind of worried. I don't love the chemistry of this team. Coming off of an already bad chemistry season. Unless Jason Tatum has a massive leap in leadership, I don't see the Celtics being like a real threat in the East.
There's a hole in leadership. For sure. Now that Marcus Smart is
gone, there's a vacuum of leadership.
Someone needs to come in be the Boston. Leader. Who the will it be? The thing
is, it has to be Tatum. It just has to be Tatum. Like, your best player has to have some role of leadership. Do you know what I mean? Like, they got to have some kind of role of leader. This is something I think that was probably an issue for T-Mac.
Yeah.
You know, for parts of his career.
It was
where,
biggest
like,
issue.
He just, yeah, he didn't want to step in.
He didn't
want to
be
role.
The captain.
He didn't want to be the captain. And you just can't have, like, Shane Battier be your captain, dude.
Yeah.
That's just
Jeff
like
Van Gundy
whack.
Even said it on a press conference that it's a problem.
That's whack. Your best player has to model the attitude and, like, the personality of the team. Right? Even if it's a Kawhi and you're super quiet and you're just like, but at least you're still like, I'll still take the captain role and yeah. Everyone's just going to be like me. We're going to be just a quiet, no nonsense, all business type team. And if that's right. How you are, then that's how you are. And you could still win a championship like that. But if Tatum is just shies away from, you know, being yeah. like the leader, then I don't know what they're going to do.
You gotta be the Hokage. If you're the best ninja in the village, like, you gotta do it. You gotta take the mantle. Can't just be running away from it the whole
time.
That's
the tragedy of Jiraiya, folks.
It is.
That's the tragedy.
It is. Like, what did you even achieve? And he regrets his life.
Yep.
As great of a character as he was, right? But, like, you gotta move things forward. And that's what Tatum has to do. He has to do it. Jrue Holiday, look, on paper, great replacement for Marcus Smart. Just better in almost every aspect to him.
Yes.
That's great. That's great. But is that what your team needs? I don't know. And you're right. His numbers are going to get worse. Because what you got, you don't have just Giannis now. Now you have Tatum and Jaylen Brown taking up stuff. And Porzingis.
Yeah, and Tatum and Brown offensively don't really have holes. You know what I mean? So playmaking is the hole for both of them. But as far as scoring, right, they can pretty much score. Like, they're pretty much three-level scorers. They can pretty much do whatever on a basketball court. So they're not going to have any issues scoring. So you're not going to have to pick up a scoring load. So your numbers are going down. Also, they generally, they're not like catch-and-shoot guys either.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Tatum a little bit. But they need a dribble. They need rhythm. So your points are coming down. Probably your assists are coming down. You know, the real impact is not going to be as appreciated as well. And so it's going to be all about the playoffs. I look at every guy that's gone. If anyone's doubting that, I mean, look at every – I mean, all those guys, Brogdon, Derek White, you know. I mean, Porzingis' numbers probably coming down. You got Porzingis too also who needs to get his numbers.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean,
it. Look, there's only
don't
so
draft
much
Jrue Holiday in fantasy. Basically,
there's only so much of the basketball to go around, and if two of the guys are consuming 25 points per game, there's not much left to go around.
Yeah, I mean, there are 55 points combined, and then you throw Porzingis's 20 in. That's 75,
and he's not.
There's
getting
not
that.
Much left for the other 9 players, you know, on the roster.
There's not much left. All right, so Jrue going down. Last one, number 31, Bam Adebayo.
Bam, bam. 29-3 on 54% shooting. 18-10-4 on 48% shooting in the playoffs.
Yep.
Yeah, obviously Jimmy gets all the credit. Bam. Second best player on this team probably doesn't get enough credit for the things that he did, especially this past year in the playoffs. He was very clutch. He had some big games when Jimmy was not having his best games.
Yeah.
And defensively, he was
towards
great.
Towards the end,
I
for
think.
Sure.
Yeah. And so I'm fine with Bam here. I feel like this is very appropriate for him, thinking about who's underneath and above him. What do you think?
Yeah, look. One thing is, I'm not sure anyone complains about an award more than Bam not getting Defensive Player of the Year. The only other person that complained this much about an award was Joel Embiid, and he finally got his MVP, so he'll never complain about it again. So really, it's just Bam.
Squeaky wheel.
Here's the shocking thing for me about Bam Adebayo, right? He's been in the league 6 years. He's played in 64 playoff games, and you think, I don't understand. Is that good or bad? Allen Iverson has only played 7 more playoff games than Bam Adebayo. Bam right now, more playoff games then Dame Dalla, Tracy McGrady, Dominique Wilkins, George Gervin, and Anthony Davis. He has more playoff games played than all those guys. He goes to the finals. Like you say, oh, like Jimmy, he's so great. He's carrying this team. He's doing all this stuff. But look, Bam is the second guy on this team.
Yeah.
And he's making things happen, right? With the two consistent people on this team are Jimmy, Bam, and a revolving door of Max Strus's, you know, Caleb Martin, those types of guys, even Tyler Hero. Like, they're all like this revolving door of Kage Bunshins that we've seen. Like, Bam is amazing at this, right? This is where we talk about the 5-5 of Zach LaVine versus the 29-3 or even 18-10-4 of Bam Adebayo, and it matters. Those are the things that matter. When he's on the court, he's making an impact. Could he do more? Sure. Should he be doing more? I don't know if he's capable. I don't know if he's capable of doing more, but this is the player he is.
He's pretty much capped. You know what I mean? Like, this is his max. And that's not a slight in any way. He's an excellent player. You know, it's just, what more can he do? Do you know what I mean? Like, he's not going to become like a three-point shooter. Like, he's not going to become some kind of excellent playmaker. He's actually pretty good at playmaking.
He's pretty good.
But he's not going to be like a, you know, like a 5 or 6 assist guy.
No.
Right. I mean, he's good at throwing those backdoor passes. Him and Duncan Robinson, they had that play that they were running. And
smart IQ player.
Yeah, he's. I do wish he was slightly more clutch.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've seen it where there are these kind of big moments, and man, if this guy doesn't back rim more like important mid-range jump, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah,
like
there's
so many. I feel like it's pick and pop.
Uh-huh.
And he just slips and he's right there. And it's just like a 10-foot or a 12-foot little jumper that you see him make for 3 quarters. And in the 4th quarter, it just back rims every time. Yeah. That's a slight annoyance. You know, there are these things where, like, when you watch the game, right, there are just these slight annoyances. And I wish he would make those, but what can you do, right? I mean, nobody's perfect. If he just made those in the fourth quarter, like in the playoffs, yeah, I think they would have won the championship. Like, what can you do, right? Like, this is if he made those, I think he would be like a top 20 player, literally. Mm. And I don't think his numbers would change. I think he would be exactly the same. It's just that, I mean, miss a couple in the 3rd quarter and make a couple in the 4th quarter, and it's a completely different, I think, feel I would have for him.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's basically what separates Bam from, like, KG or Tim Duncan. I bet their numbers are not that different. KG obviously had some sick numbers, like, some years.
Ooh, but like, in his Celtics KG.
Yes, but Celtics KG, who is the greater KG, not the better KG, but the greater KG, right? The championship KG.
Yeah.
And like Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan doesn't have crazy numbers, right? Go look at his career. Like, this guy barely averages 20 points a lot of seasons. But what is it? It's that in those high leverage moments, those pressure moments, I mean, it's an 18-foot bank shot.
Yeah.
Tim Duncan, you know that's going in. Right, KG, it's a turnaround fadeaway, 15-footer.
Yeah.
You know that's going in, right? And if Bam just had that, I feel like he would be in a different category of this conversation. Suddenly he would be like a 1B type player instead of a clear 2 or 2B.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing. I think if he just did that, he could move up without any difference in skill, without any difference in talent. It's literally just making those clutch shots.
I mean, KG was 16-8-3 his entire career in Boston.
That's crazy. Just playing great defense.
Almost got to 19 points per game his first season. Almost, but not all the
vocal leader, hitting big shots, making big plays. Look, defensively, I got no complaints. Bam, crazy block on Tatum a couple years ago, right?
Yep.
I mean, he steps up on defense, but offensively, especially on such an offensively limited team, man, just a couple of those. you guys know what I'm talking about. If you watched it, you know what I'm talking about. Those little 10-foot. Sometimes it's a little floater. Sometimes it's a jumper. It's a little 12-footer.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Just make that. It's wide open.
It's right there. It's tough.
He'd be like 22 if he's 31 on the – like if he just made two or three of those, he'd be like 22 on the list.
Yep. The theme of 41 to 50 – was, I think, availability.
Right.
The theme of 31 to 40, I think, is flaws.
Mm.
That's what I think. Everyone on this list has a flaw.
Mm.
And so I think when we step into the next section of the list, I think it'll be interesting. Because I think that list is about mentality.
Ooh. Good tease.
Mentality. All right. That's it, everyone. Thanks for listening to the People's Pod. Subscribe, like, share, comment, rate, do all those good things. We'll be back with 21 to 30.
Yep.
Brunson's not on that list. But guess what? James Harden is. So we'll talk about our boy, James Harden. And we'll be back. All right. This is FBR with Flip and Joe. Peace.